rides his pony down life's lane, searching for the why of all the pain he knows. It'll never be the same.
Hey, Legs.
Hey, Lizzie.
How are you today?
I am surprisingly calm, this being our first podcast together.
Yeah, I'm pretty calm too. Your phone's making noises.
I know. It's talking to me. So let me go have a conversation with it, because I thought, no, it shouldn't be me.
No problem.
Okay.
So I was thinking earlier that we don't really have anything to give our listeners. We don't know if we'll have any listeners or if we'll have a few listeners or a lot of listeners, but I know podcasts usually send you to go get something so that we can stay in touch. So I will just say that we will have something that's good enough
to be announced.
To be announced. Good enough, by the way, is inspired by the Spirited Man, Van Neistat, who told us that it's okay just to be good enough. And that thing that will be good enough, it will be at our website at legsandlizzie.com. So from there, we wanted to start out, we're going to kind of cover the four general categories of the podcast, which is farm punk love life. And the first one we thought we'd start out with is life, and it's titled Aaron Needs a Bike.
Boy, Aaron needs a bike. Yeah.
And so what we thought of, well, why don't you tell us what we were thinking, since I'll ask you some questions about it, but how do you think you're going to get a bike?
Well, first of all, back at the idea that good enough. I have no need to spend a ton of money to get a bicycle. As everybody knows, it's quite expensive right now to get into cycling. Plus, we believe in reusing and not, you know, constantly buying something new and then trading in and buying something new. So my thought is there are some extraordinary places in the area. We're blessed to be in the San Francisco Bay Area on the outside of going somewhere or some places that have a purpose, which is to recycle bicycles, in addition to also having a purpose. Many times they're doing it for certain reasons. And so my hope was to go around to different places, find a used bicycle that would serve the needs of what we want to do, which was be able to ride on the road, ride to the store, ride on the gravel, ride on the dirt, and more importantly, use our car as the least amount as possible. So it has to be an all-purpose bike. This is not like the Netherlands where there's trails everywhere and maybe we go get a cargo bike for that, two of them, and one for cargo and one for the dog. But for right now, we're gonna find a bike for me and we're gonna go through the process, because my pass would be go out and get this skinny wheel, they don't use skinny wheels anymore, bicycle, and be really slick and fast. I don't want to do that anymore. I just want to be good enough on a bicycle and stay upright. So that's the most important thing, stay upright.
That sounds great. We should probably say we live in a small town in Northern California. It takes us about an hour and a half to get to the Bay Area. And I have a couple bikes. Should I say what bikes I have?
Yeah, because they're really cool. They're like,
well, I don't know
really
about
cool.
that, but one of the bike shops we'll probably talk about again is a used bike shop in Sandpoint, Idaho called Bonner Bikes, and they actually have a big room. That's Teo's going to bark. Come here, bud. Good boy. You pick out your bike. They have everything. Cool mountain bikes, road bikes. Do you mind shutting that door, sweetie?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, never mind. No, fine. We were bound and determined not to edit, so we're going to try that and just lower the volume on his barking. So over the years, I first got a road bike. It's just an old Giant, 90s Giant. And then my next bike was this Dutch bike that's really cool that I got at Bonner Bikes and was my town bike. And I put a leather seat on it and a nice bell and a rearview mirror. And then I had those when I moved, still in storage. And so I found this used Barracuda. I'm not sure what year that would be, but it's a mountain bike that's heavy, but it's a cool brand that I didn't even know was cool until someone saw it and said, hey, where'd you get that? I guess it was made out of Denver. So those are my bikes, and yeah, I'm excited.
One of the cool bikes out of the 90s.
Yeah.
Out of the 90s.
So they say. I'm not really up on all of it.
Yeah.
But, and so we'll, in our podcast, talk about as we visit these places. And what would you say, anything else about what you're looking for?
No, I'm open to possibilities. It has to do with, does it serve all the purposes? Is it in the right price point? And, you know, if there has to be work done on it, you know, what has to be put into it to make it work? But I'm open, and if it's for a good cause, you know, one of the places I'm thinking of is a place where they, it's an old Victorian in San Rafael, California, run by a woman. It was started by a woman who, originally it's called Trips for Kids.
Trips for Kids?
Trips for Kids. And literally, they do Trips for Kids because people donate the bicycles, the parts, everything there. It's gigantic now. They teach them how to work on their bikes. They put bikes together for sale to make the money. And then you will literally see groups of 10, 15 kids up on Mount Tam getting instructions on how to ride a mountain bike on the fire roads of Mount Tam. So it's
very
a really
cool.
good purpose. And I have donated there and I shopped there.
And they have
there.
Bikes for big people too?
Yeah. Big, yes. Big, you know, tired, big frame bicycles for big guys. Yeah, everybody, little and small.
Awesome. Well, we'll save more about your history with bicycles for another time, but you were a professional bike racer, right?
Yeah.
Is that the term?
Yes.
You raced.
I raced a bicycle,
okay.
Both amateur and professional.
Gotcha.
So there's a period I was a pro, there's a period I was amateur, probably more years amateur than pro, but
nice.
Yes, yeah, it was an experience.
More about that later.
More about
that. Well, I am excited to go to those bike shops, and we'll be talking about that type of store. We're interested in learning about kind of handmade things, including bicycles that don't necessarily come from a big factory. I know that components come from different places, but people that are making a living with a smaller shop and more craftsmanship. Does that sound right? You know more about bikes than me. Did I describe that correctly?
You did. And actually, one of the things I didn't add when you asked me what I'd be looking for is if we could find something where the majority of it, of the bicycle, including components, which might be difficult, the component side, but majority of them made in the USA. And there's a whole qualification for that. But right now, since it's a huge bike, used bike, we're just going to go look for things that possibly were truly made in the U.S. And, you know, that could be an old steel frame, but I'd rather try that and see what we could come up with.
Nice. Great. Well, the next one of our little segments is farm, and do you want to ask me some questions about that?
Well, yes, because I'm one of those people that dreamed about being a farmer, but and have lived out in the country somewhat, but not a farming country, and always thought that someday I might have the ability to get, like, be in my tractor, John Deere, with punk music playing in there, you know, just laying the seeds down in a row, because, by the way, everybody, I like the lines, like, exact. I like looking at the lines. So you being a fourth generation farmer, I am intrigued by, it's one of the things that was intriguing about you was that you have that background, and I wanted to learn that. And we're not ready to go big, as far as we don't have 20 acres or 10 acres or even five, but what could we do on a small plot of land, even in our backyard, with some seeds on how to grow things? I mean, I was impressed when you just took a little egg carton, took the top off, and put some seeds in there and some dirt, put it in the window here at the house, and things started sprouting up. And I want to learn that. And I want to learn that from you. So you have procured some really interesting seeds. And that in itself, just seeing the seeds and the type of thing, types of different seeds, but the packaging, because some of these companies make really cool packaging for the seeds in addition to what healthy things we could create for ourselves and grow for ourselves, because we do like eating healthy. That's one of the things we put a lot of importance on. So I'm interested in what seeds you have in your possession that you're interested in growing in our little garden right now.
Great, and I was going to, I was going to pull up a list. I write, as you know, this little publication called The Land Love Letter. And in the latest edition, I wrote about some seed catalogs. And so one of the things we maybe could give people is a list of some cool seed companies that you could download the list as a PDF on our website. How does that sound?
I think that would be, if I could find some, I can only speak personally for myself. I know nothing about this. So if I could find a source that would say, huh, these people might know what they're talking about, maybe I should check it out. Where can I find these seeds? And people, believe me, I don't know if I have a green thumb or if I have a brown thumb, but I won't know until I try. And so I would be interested in finding a source for seeds. And so maybe that sounds like a good idea. Not maybe. That sounds like a really good idea. And
nice.
So,
well, it won't be a huge list, but it'll be something. We'll put some things in the show notes. But if someone just wanted to keep in touch with us and download it, that sounds great. And so, since I didn't bring up that little land love letter, I did bring some seeds. So last year, we have a little cool property, which we'll talk more about. It's a 1950s cafe that we're going to be fixing up into a little cabin. And it has about a city lot size of land. I would say maybe it's a third of an acre. And last year, we grew some tomatoes and, what else? Just kind of various things. And then this year, some of the seeds that we got, one of the catalogs is, it's Kitazawa Seed Company, and it's now run by True Seeds. And what I might have you do, Aaron, is just maybe read these off, and I'll comment if I need to while I look at this list. I really want to be able to say the name. I want to be able to say the names of the seed catalog.
Sure. So the first one that I have here, it's called Dark Green Kansai.
Yeah, so that's one of the seeds in this. We got the Asian Herb Garden, and so they sell this collection of, so within that, that's one of the types of vegetables within that pack. So it has about, looks like 8 or 10.
Yep.
I can't remember the price, but that was one of the things we got. And I believe that company, it was Kitazawa, is now operated by True Seeds. So that's what I want to bring up so I can
right.
tell
and
you
it looks,
correct.
It looks like on the label, first it's non-GMO, and it also has an address in Salt Lake City, Utah, but also Oakland, California, on both sides of the packaging. And this particular seed
is... Maybe we can go visit them sometime.
Exactly.
That's not very far away.
And then, just so you know, what if people don't know what this particular dark green kansai is, it's a Chinese celery.
Oh, there you go.
So, in layman's terms. So, and I'm a layman. So.
Yeah, we won't have to get too much in the weeds, but just we just generally wanted to give an impression that we ordered a bunch of interesting things. So yeah, Kitazawa Seed, and that comes from trueleafmarket.com. Shout out to True Leaf, and they have other represent other seed purveyors. And what was the other one we got?
The other one is
it's on the back, sweetie.
Right. It's Japanese Heirloom Garden.
Yeah. So that's another collection of seed that we got, and we just had this delicious meal at you know, when you have a podcast and you mention things, you should really be able to reference them correctly.
Well, we're doing this on
especially
the fly with
when
no
you're
editing.
In the third act of life, and maybe the memory isn't as. But we'll put it in the show notes. It's a well-known vegan Japanese restaurant, and it's based on a style of Japanese cooking that's really beautiful and simple. So we got some of these things to be able to cook some of those dishes, and we'll talk more about that when we have our notes together.
What I do know, I remember she took me there for my birthday, and it was one of the best meals I've ever had. And then let's see what else we have in here. So you have,
we'll put it in the show notes.
Exactly. So right here we have from Carmel Bella Farm. This is called just garden seeds.
Yeah, so this is a collection of heirloom tomato seeds from Carmel Bella Farm, and I don't even like talking about it because they sell out so quickly, but this is a beautiful farm. The owner used to live in Carmel, and it's just really, really lovely. So if I open this up, you can see I kind of splurged. Each of these packs... So this is a tomato called Zluta Kytice, K-Y-T-I-C-E, and I'm holding it up for the video, but obviously this is a podcast, so you can't see it. But tiny, tiny little tomato seeds, looks like there could be 30 seeds in there. Probably the website tells you how many you're getting, but I got a lot of blue zebra, glossy rose blue. She has a lot of purple and blue varieties. Not to be confused with the GMO purple tomato. Say no to GMO.
Yeah, no GMO and no purple tomatoes. No. But when this comes packaged...
You say tomato, I say tomato.
Yeah, let's call the whole thing off. Yeah, so what's really cool is they give you the seed starting guide with, you know, you can just...
Scan it
and they'll explain to you probably everything how to do it.
Yep.
And so you want to do one more seed?
Yeah, I can take over if you don't mind.
No, I don't.
But thank you. I needed to look up, make sure I could say where this
is. I'm good at
the
props.
Catalogs. You are good at props.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I need that, though.
Which,
and
okay.
Now you're putting the ones we already said on top of the ones I haven't
okay,
said
got it.
Yet.
I didn't know how
thank
deep you're
you.
Going to go.
This was just a retail store seed pack of daisies I threw in there. And then... We ordered some things from this cool place called the Experimental Farm Network Seed Store. And I got some upland dry rice because I'm interested in, we have a lot of rice around here that is grown in water. And I'm sure people are doing dry rice as well, but I'm interested in that. This crazy thing called sea plantain, which you can eat super healthy. And so what this group does is basically they want people to farm it and let them know how it does. And it's a potential great vegetable that people can use. And it probably won't grow here because we're in the valley and it grows near the ocean. But you like the ocean.
Yes.
And I like the ocean. And we're going to see if some sea plantain grows. Blue beans, which looked beautiful. Kaleidoscope perennial kale. So that's what we got from them.
Right on.
Then you're making it more confusing. You're pulling everything out. That's okay. This is what
right
we do.
Right at your fingertips.
So the other thing we got was some popcorn corn from Southern Seeds. And I'd heard that fresh corn, popcorn corn is... Just that you can't imagine how much more delicious it is than popcorn you buy in the store. Sorry, Paul Newman. And we're going to try that out. And we went to this cool market, this international, what's it called, KP Foods?
Yep.
And we were
in Sacramento.
In Sacramento. It's this amazing international market. And we saw a seed rack, and nothing is in English, but we can tell this is bok choy, and this looks like Napa cabbage. And so we bought a couple of those, and I think that that's about it. And the only other thing I included in that little land love letter, Richter's Urban Vegetables, and it's richters.com, R-I-C-H-T-E-R-S, is a really wonderful catalog, and it's has little starts, so you can buy seeds, start them yourself, but if you have an area where you want to put in a lot of lavender or a lot of rosemary, and you just want to have, so you can get flats of the plants, and I've used them before, and we have some at the property that you can see how big it is already.
Exactly.
So they come as the little plants, and then they grow. And then the only other thing, I just wanted, this is a podcast, so you can't see it, but for the video, here's the Baker Creek catalog. This is the Richter's Urban Vegetable Catalog, the Kitazawa, and yeah, so seed catalogs. I love seed catalogs. You love seed catalogs. Everyone loves seed catalogs. I think that's it for the seed catalogs.
Yeah, and just think, you can grow your own food and have the satisfaction of eating healthy and doing something on your own. You know, and I think that's in itself something really
important.
And
we're thinking that we may sell at a farmer's market or do some farming where we might actually sell something someday. So my daughter Jessie just got home. All right.
Wow.
So,
now we're going to, one of the other, we have four words that we follow, which is punk, farm, love, life. And so we're going to talk about punk. And, well, punk for me is more than probably what most people think of it, just music. But in this case, we're going to talk about music and the song that we're working on. Is that correct?
Yeah, maybe since this is the first episode, we kind of talked about it in the trailer, but maybe we can talk a little bit about the punk philosophy, and then we'll talk about this song, that whether or not we're able to use it for the trailer, because we haven't gotten the okay as at the time of this recording, we'll still want people to know about it, so we can talk about, you can talk about the cool song that you're learning. So what does punk mean to you, or in relation to this podcast?
Well, first, I got involved in punk as a teenager, and punk really wasn't punk then. So in the mid-70s, punk wasn't, you know, didn't have a definition. There are some bands that you could call punk, and they say the Kinks were one of the first punk bands, and if you listen to their sound, maybe. But what punk was at first for me was I didn't fit into anything, and I liked doing things myself, and I did play instruments, and so for me it was like not fitting in with the various crowds. As we probably all know, growing up, especially in high school, everybody has their little spots. You know, at my school they had everything. You know, if you were one person type of person, you were in this spot in the school, etc., etc. I didn't fit in anyone, so I didn't know where to go. But there were a group of people that just didn't fit in, so they congregated somewhere that we seemed to gravitate towards, why we don't know. So that's how I first got started in thinking about punk. And then I moved to New Jersey, which, as if many of you probably know, is a place where there's a lot of musicians, and a lot of them go up to New York. And so I then started, I was going to university, and I started going up to New York City, to Washington Square in Greenwich Village to busk. And all of a sudden I heard about this scene, and it was the punk scene. And this was the American punk scene. It's not the British punk scene, it's the American one. And it's at CBGB's and Max's Kansas City, were the two places in New York City that you went to. So I was really blessed and really lucky and had no parental supervision, so I was really good. And I didn't get arrested, but I got to go to these places and hear the punk bands that were getting started. And what it taught you, what was about, everybody was welcome. It didn't matter who you were or what you looked like, what have you. It was you know, it was a, everybody was included. It was fully inclusionary. And nobody really bothered you if you were different or what have you. And they had a DIY attitude. They didn't want to be rich, even though some probably at some point did. It was more of that they wanted to talk about what they wanted to talk about. And the original reason, what I believe they got started was, at that time in the 70s, there were these big stadium bands. They were gotten big, and they, this is their term, so don't beat me up here. They were bloated. They were, you know, big production. It cost a fortune for somebody to go to them, and the songs were 10 minutes. So punk said, forget all this. We're just gonna strip it down. We're gonna say what we want. And there are people that can sing, and there are people that could play more than three chords and became pretty adept at their, you know, instruments. And they talked about what they wanted to talk about in 2 minutes, really fast, because they had a lot to say. And so they put together these incredible albums of 10 songs, 15 songs, of 2 minutes each, done and over with, no big production. And that has carried me to my advanced years now, to where it's an ethos, it's a way of living. It's you think punk being fast, but it's really the slow life. It's wanting to have a slow life, to enjoy life. It's an ethos, and for me, I still carry it. I tried to, you know, get my children to listen to it. One did and one didn't, because you can't force anything down a child's, you know, throat. And I didn't. That's not kind of parroting I did. But I talked to him about it. And for me, I know I've been long-winded here, but that's what punk was. And so I walk through life. It's not about violence. It's not about hatred. It's about love and having something to say that's worthwhile and making the world a better place. And that's a part of this podcast, a large part of it, is that we want to make the world a better place together. So in a nutshell, that's punk.
I think we want to keep this to 20, 30 minutes. And when we have some people we're talking with, we'll be longer. But maybe we'll talk about the song tomorrow. And I will just add to the punk part. I didn't follow punk rock. This year we went to the punk rock bowling festival in Las Vegas, or last year, 2023. And being with Aaron, I've just learned more about what punk is, which, if I had to summarize, I would say inclusive community, making a difference, having a power to stand up for things, and without being able to say maybe groups that aren't doing the right thing and speaking up, because you definitely hear that in the songs, but being inclusive of everyone and all types of people, all sexuality, everything. And that's really beautiful. I really like that a lot. And I think we'll be speaking with people who may be punk literally, but there will be people that are punk just because they're punk.
And they don't even really probably know they're living in the punk music. You know, they don't listen
to life.
Punk life, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's going to be exciting.
So the last, what do you think about, we were going to talk about love because we didn't cover that, but in our nicknames, but maybe we'll save that for tomorrow. What do you think about that?
I think we should start off the podcast tomorrow with that, because we're calling our, probably figured out, our nicknames are Legs and Lizzie. And I think people would want to know why we call each other that. And so that's a good way to start next podcast. And then
that
we can move on
great.
To the other things we are interested in talking about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We're supposed to have kind of a, it's an exit line. And I wrote this stuff, I wrote this. Do you want to say that line?
Do stuff, don't buy stuff, peace, punk, and plants.
We may work on that, but yeah. Peace that, Punk Plants.
Pink Punk, yeah, that rolled off the tongue. Nice. Just like Punk Farm Love Life. Just sort of rolls off the tongue for a glorious, proper life. This was one with our first one.
Searching for the wild of all the pain he knows.
Thank you for listening to the Legs and Lizzie Punk Farm Love Life podcast. Please subscribe to get notified of new episodes. We'd love to have you as part of the Legs and Lizzie family. It really helps us if you also leave a review.
You can support the podcast by becoming a Legs and Lizzie patron at patreon.com. Just search Legs and Lizzie. You can become a member for as little as $5 a month. Podcast music is by Lizzie's brother, who goes by Squint Todd and the Horse Thieves. See the show notes for links to other things we mentioned.
Be safe and happy until next time.
Do stuff, make stuff, don't buy stuff.
Peace, punk, plants.
We don't need much, we just need each other.
There's a coyote bawling in the pouring rain. Sometimes he thinks he can feel his pain, he knows he'll never be the same. His old black dog just tags along and listens while he sings his song. Love is all she knows. On and on they go. Oh, strangers cry, lonelier than pissed out wine. There's no wonder why he's bound to drift along. To the heavens, his only friend alone. On the wildest train he's riding, so damn few of all. There's Jimson weed and tumbleweeds. Join the crowd. Let the hyena circling laugh out loud. There ain't no way. Lord knows he had his day. Oh, strangers cry. Strangers cry.